Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Bachelor Greatest Seasons Ever Wrap-Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. And Haley, how are you doing tonight? We have a special guest that I'll have you introduce.
I am so excited about our special guest. It's our good friend, great friend of the podcast, even. We convince him to come on at least once a year now since his podcast retirement, and he gladly obliges us. And we thought it'd be really fun to have him on this episode because our buddy Jordan Parhar actually did the draft with us for next season. So we thought it would be perfect to talk to him about it. Jordan, what's up, bud?
Haley, Amy, thank you so much for having me back. I'm still amazed and slightly perplexed that you continue to invite me back on the pod. I don't know if anybody cares to hear about my bachelor / bachelorette takes at this point, but
we can. So that's what matters.
Oh, well, I feel okay, like we have this exclusive now. Like, it's like you're a hot commodity because you're in retirement. So we're not going to let that go.
I am greatly appreciative of the kind words, and I will gladly come on the podcast anytime you invite me on. So thank you for having me. Always happy to talk bachelor / bachelorette. Even when the world is about to end. So I'm very excited to be here tonight.
Did you ever think back when we were recording this that one day we would be talking about Nick's season again on a podcast? And it's not because he came back to be The Bachelor a second time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would have, if you would have said what's more likely to happen, like a global pandemic or us talking about Nick on the podcast again, I would have said us talking about Nick on the podcast again. In addition to everything else that's crazy that's happened this year. I don't think it's too crazy. I think looking back though, and seeing like watching the episode, it reminded me of a ton of stuff that I just completely forgot about from his season. Which I'm excited to get into. Mm-hmm. It really was it was just thinking back to that time. It's probably one of the times in my Bachelor viewership that I enjoyed watching the most. I think it was quite an entertaining season from what I can recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say watching this episode, it kind of brought back that we really enjoyed this season, I think. we liked Nick as the Bachelor. You and I were excited that he was picked. I don't think that was the general consensus. They even said that this was one of their most controversial picks ever. And I thought it was a good season. I thought the cast of women was really fantastic. I think this might have been, you know, one of those ones where it was just like every woman seemed like an absolute home run. And I enjoyed watching it again last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this episode really reminded me, like, wow, this cast, so many of these women, like, they didn't even really show up in this episode, but they've been on VIP. And this was probably maybe one of the biggest seasons for, like, having ongoing contestants that we see pop up on VIP that we know that we still kind of follow along with. So I thought that was interesting. Like, oh yeah, that person was on next season too. I just kind of like forget what season they come from. So like, that's kind of interesting. And we got to hear from quite a few people as well. Before we totally dive in to this season, a couple news items. Haley, there's a shocking breakup in Bachelor Nation.
Trey Supriesing, rest in peace, Beck and Garrett's relationship. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody expected it for the last month.
I think we already reported on it, but she officially announced it on her Instagram. So they're just asking for privacy at this time. They lovingly parted ways. It was kind of like a, you know, we knew that this was happening because they weren't posting together for the last few months. Jordan, how do you feel about another engaged couple from this franchise not making it to the altar?
I mean, I think it just speaks to how truly difficult it is for a relationship to work outside of the bachelor bachelorette bubble, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'm never usually too surprised if a couple from the show breaks up, especially these two. I mean, the Garrett dating back to when he was on the show had incredibly problematic things that had been posted on his social media, which to me, I didn't think really aligned with Becca, and clearly they don't, mm-hmm. Which is why things ended the way they did. Mm-hmm. I wish them both well, hope they can figure it out, but yeah, just not surprised. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's hard to make it when you're outside of these magical dates that are happening all the time, and all you have, your life is put on hold. When you're back in the real world, it's different. And I think that's why so many of these relationships don't work. And that's why breaking up is the norm, not something that's out of the ordinary. So wish them well. Mm-hmm. I hope Becca's doing okay, because I am a big Becca fan. Yeah, I got nothing to say about Garrett.
Haley, do you think we'll see either of these two on a Bachelor franchise show in the future?
I could see us seeing Becca again. I am hoping we won't see Garrett again. I hope that he just sails off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm. And then, speaking of future Bachelor franchise shows, there have been some official promo materials going around, a poster and a commercial for Claire's season. They are not acknowledging Tayshia's season at all yet, at least in their promotional materials, but we have a premiere date, October 13th. It's a little later than I was expecting. Haley, how about you?
I feel like because of the Tayshia switch up, they're probably going a little later than they maybe wanted to. Mm-hmm. I'm happy about it. Look, it gives us something to watch in the fall. Bachelor, Survivor's not going to be on, so I'm gonna load up my Mondays and Tuesdays with Dancing with the Stars and Bachelorette. I'm looking forward to the season, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious to see how they do it,
and I'm excited.
Jordan, what did you make of the whole casting the Bachelorette, the rumors going around, and then the confirmation that Tayshia's also the Bachelorette?
Yeah, I saw it first on Reddit, and somebody from this like anonymous account posted saying, hey, I have this information and it's top secret. But Tayshia is coming in to replace Claire as the Bachelorette. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And all these people were commenting and going crazy. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. Yeah. And I was just like, people are just so dumb. They just believe anything that an anonymous account will post. But no, it turns out I was the one who was stupid. And that anonymous tip was true. And it happened. I was completely flabbergasted, could not believe it. Who knows? There have been lots of rumors about what's why it's happened. I'm sure we'll see how it all unfolds. I do feel bad for Claire that there's been stuff out there saying, oh, Claire was difficult and they pushed to replace her and all this stuff. It's like, why? Like, that nobody ever says that about like Peter or Colton during filming yet. You know, we're just going to immediately, oh, okay, yes. So we're just going to say Claire's difficult and that's why she was replaced. Like, let's maybe like wait and see like what actually happened and maybe get her side of the story. So I'm really excited to see Tayshia. I'm a huge Tayshia fan, really enjoy her. I'm glad that they're getting some more representation within the franchise. And I'm really, really curious to see how they edit this and put this together. And if it's one season or if it's two seasons, either way, I think it will be fun. And like Haley, I will be enjoying the Dancing with the Stars featuring Carol Baskin and The Bachelorette this fall.
A lot of Netflix representation over on Dancing with the Stars this season.
Is there more? Because all I saw was Carol Baskin.
It's Rochelle from Selling Sunset.
And
a coach from the show Cheer, too?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't remember her name now. I did love Cheer. I didn't watch Selling Sunset. Didn't watch Tiger King. I didn't think it was for me, so I didn't get into it. But I'm really looking forward to... You know who's on this season of Dancing with the Stars? Nelly.
Nelly is on it, too. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Wow, Nelly and Carol Baskin in the same bubble. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I haven't really heard how they're doing their bubble. Have you guys heard?
I have not.
Okay, because I know Jason's out there with Caitlin. And it didn't seem like he was like totally restricted from going places, but they're like tested every day or something. So it's a little more of like a loose bubble. But yeah, that'll be interesting because that cast was announced today too. I'm just looking through, flashing back to our draft. It's just really funny to see our choices for next season. Jordan, you were on top of it. You picked Raven as your number one choice. I picked Whitney as my number one choice and Olivia as my second choice, who I don't think we even saw a glimpse of her. It took me a minute to remember her. And then Haley, your number one choice was Danielle Maltby, which is a pretty strong choice. I was kind of surprised we didn't hear from her this episode.
We didn't see her at all, did we?
No.
I forgot she was on this season. I totally forgot. We saw nothing from her.
Do you think they make the choice of kind of how they'll edit based on who they can get to show up and Skype with Chris?
Maybe.
Because she was.
I'm sure that's like that's got to be a thing, right? So she must have declined or, I don't know. Or they just, wasn't she dating Pauly Calafiore for a bit? Maybe they just don't have any association with them.
Yeah, because that was like the Cara Maria thing. Pauly cheated on her literally on the challenge.
Oh, yes, that's right. It was her. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez, poor Danielle. That sucks.
Let's see. So next season, we're going back, and Jordan, have you watched any of these other Greatest of All Times, or was this your first foray into this?
This was my first foray into it. Soon as you invited me on, I was like, okay, gonna have to fire up the DVR and record this and give it a chance. And I was shocked to see that these are 3 hours. I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know what the ratings are like for all of these, but this was fine. It was good. But I think I would only go back and watch the ones seasons that I thought were extremely entertaining. So this would definitely be one. I'm assuming there was a Mesnick one if there hasn't been one already.
Yeah.
I saw Juan Pablo's coming up. That makes sense based on Claire being the new Bachelorette. And then I'm just thinking Ali Fedotowsky Jake Pavelka, those ones stand out to me.
Yep,
Jillian
Allie.
Harris.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're doing Jillian because they had Jillian show up on Jason's season. So I feel like when they ask them to come and talk and it's not when they're the lead, I think, okay, we're probably not going to get their season.
Did they do one with Jake Pavelka or no?
No, they did Allie's season. So I think they're might be in.
Jake Pavelka's season, I mean, I cannot stand the man, but that season was also a complete train wreck and deserves its own. Like I would actually sit down and watch that live, that episode, the whole 3 hours.
Yeah, maybe we're going now with Juan Pablo coming up next. Maybe that is going to usher in like the train wreck seasons, because they even had, they had Brad's two seasons into one episode.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they interviewed Brad, and that was, I recommend that one. I think that was a good one to like catch up with Brad and see how
Brad looks good.
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to say, I don't know if I'm on an island on this, because this was like pre-social media, but I didn't watch his first season, but on his second season, I kind of like Brad Womack. Is that a bad take? Should I not like Brad Womack?
Well, I didn't see either of those seasons. But I came out of it being like, oh, I like this guy. Yeah. I liked him after the first season, like that hour. And I liked him even more after the second one. It was just kind of, I think it was just a product of its time. I think us looking back at it now, it's reasonable that the guy, if he didn't want to propose to either of the women and he broke up with both of them, that we're like, oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But only in like the Bachelor world would that be a bad thing.
Did they show on the recap with Brad Womack? Did they show him like talking to his counselor during his second season?
They mentioned him like going to therapy.
Yeah,
like,
he had like a guy
therapy.
Yeah, yeah, he had a guy like during the season. That was like a huge thing because he was like, last time I didn't propose and like this time I have to. So I have a therapist
here. On call.
And so like they would show him. Yeah, so like they showed him sitting down and talking to him. I really enjoyed that era of The Bachelor, the pre-social media Instagram era. It was I don't know, it just seemed, I mean, I was also more young and naive, but it just seemed more quote-unquote real
genuine and
then,
real,
right? Mm-hmm. Yes, genuine and real, just like Madison Pruitt. I think that's her name.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. It's like each of these episodes kind of takes us back to the time. If we were watching it live, it takes us back to that time. And then if we didn't watch it, then it's like, okay, we can kind of like get a sense for that era and how the show has changed. So it is kind of fun. This Nick episode has been after a 2-week break. So it's been a long time since we've caught up. So it was kind of nice to just get back into having that Monday night tradition as well. Chris always likes to say, like, kind of classify each of the Bachelors. And so he calls Nick the most unlikely choice and the most controversial. Jordan, do you think that's apt or is it a little bit exaggerated?
I think this is a case of Chris Harrison saying, this is the most dramatic season in Bachelor history. Like, I think he's just trying to be hyperbolic as he always is. Mm-hmm. I don't, maybe like Nick definitely was kind of a surprising choice. Like I remember being shocked when they announced Nick, especially because VIP was still airing. But I the most controversial Bachelor, like I think more people, again, not fully aware of everything going on at the time because there was pre-social media, but I think more people were upset that Brad Womack got to do it twice than Nick getting once. Mm-hmm. Nick had already had like a bit of this redemption arc on Bachelor in Paradise when he was cast as the Bachelor for this season. So I don't really think so. Like, I think people were upset about the Corinne stuff throughout the season. But other than that, like, I can't really recall, because this wasn't that long ago, I can't recall people like that upset. Like I even feel like people were more upset about Colton than Nick.
We definitely were. Haley and I were
super annoyed. But who else was in the running for that? Was it Luke
P?
I think it was Luke.
Luke Pell.
Didn't they talk to Ben Z as well? Maybe
that was, yeah.
wishful thinking. Like, I feel like that was kind of, I think Luke at the time, I remember thinking, oh, it'll be Luke because that, yeah, hadn't JoJo's season just aired before that? It must have. Yeah. That was JoJo's season. He seemed like the guy. There was that big, huge surprise where after hometowns, like he got sent home. He was kind of in that, like, you know, fallen angel zone. If we were to put it in like Survivor, he goes out at four. Yeah, I mean, I think Nick was a much better choice. I think they weren't happy with Luke. I've since read stuff that Reality Steve has said about Luke Pell not being the most authentic individual. So I think that that's probably why they went with Nick. And I think they made the right choice. It was a great season. Nick definitely has, like, I don't know how the two of you feel about Nick, but for me, like, he's definitely, he is a little bit controversial, like, I would say now, just about how people feel about him, but in comparison to who has recently been The Bachelor, give me Nick all day. He was much better than Peter, and he was much better than Colton, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, Haley, I think we have to agree. We were fans of him before. We weren't even, like, against this choice at all.
Yeah, we like Nick. I like Nick. I again, enjoy watching him again last night. I just find him very insightful, and I can understand why people might not like his style, which is very much kind of feeding into, I know that this is a TV show. But I like that. I like that he tried to make it entertaining for us. I just like the guy. I just cannot help it. We watched Caitlyn's season and I couldn't help really like him in that too. I like the dude. I remember I hated Luke. I really didn't want him to be chosen. So I was ecstatic about Nick. And I think we were like, I think we were really thrown off by the choice, but we were excited about it.
Yeah, and so they kind of delve into, they show, they recap like they always do at the beginning of a Bachelor season, just, you know, the story beforehand. So he had his heartbreak with Andy, then with Caitlin, and then they even showed the clip from VIP with Jen, and the line kind of stood out to me where he said, "Something is telling me I need to say goodbye to you," and it's just like, could that something be the producer saying this open slot here?
I had that same thought too. I was like, yeah, I think we know what.
Yeah, because it was like, wait, was that really a big heartbreak? Because he wasn't on the, you know, dumping end of it. Like, he was doing the breakup. So, because they showed, I'd kind of forgotten how that one ended, that, you know, she wanted to continue on. So they showed that. And then they had a booth where people could come up and air their grievances with The Bachelor on the street. At first, I
don't remember that at all.
I didn't remember that at all. Did you remember that, Jordan?
This was like in Hollywood, wasn't it?
Yeah, at first I was like, is it in Chicago? But then it looked like it was in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. And sorry, to be completely upfront, like I skipped the very beginning of this 3-hour episode just because I was trying to save time.
Yeah.
I do vaguely remember that in the preseason. But I don't know if it was even on the show or if it was on like Entertainment Tonight or something like that.
Yeah,
I
think was
it
was this on, back like, in the era where they doing like a preview shows? You know how they like tried out like different types of shows or like live countdowns? I don't remember what they did around Nick's season, but
yeah, I can't. I think they might have done like a pre night one episode, if I remember correctly. Or this was like there was like a red carpet like lead up to the premiere, something like that. I can't fully remember, but I do vaguely remember this segment that you're referring to.
So yeah, apparently a lot of people hated him. Haley, they just walked right up to him and were like, "I am not a fan. I don't think you're gonna do a good job."
Can you imagine like walking up to somebody and saying that? Like, do you think they were paid to do that?
I think I wouldn't be shocked if they did, because I completely agree. Like, it's as somebody who's, I mean, to a much lesser extent, been involved in a similar type of world to Nick, who has also gotten lots of hateful comments on social media and online in general, there have been several times, quite a few times where I've been in the presence of people who probably have said those sorts of things to me online, but never in person would say that. Usually people say the opposite, just because it's because you're in person. People just don't do that. But I don't know, maybe there's a lot of people around that day and they just found someone willing to say that. I'm not sure, but personally, I feel like they would have just paid somebody to say that or had some sort of agreement, because that's like, I don't know. That's no fun.
Yeah.
To do that. Like, come on. I don't know.
And then we got to see some of the intros from the limo, and I didn't remember that Taylor basically like insulted him as one of the first people. I don't know if she was the first, but in this episode, they showed her as the first person coming out of the limo and just saying like, yeah, my friend said you're a piece of shit. And he's just kind of like, okay. Oh, but I don't believe them. So Haley, how do you rate that as an opening line?
Horrific. Truly bad. I just don't get why you'd say something to that. Like someone bad to someone. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me, like to start your relationship off by like cutting somebody down. And it doesn't matter if you don't think that, you're saying like, my friends think you're awful. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd make, you know what I mean? Cause it's like, can't right off the bat, you're eliminating that person from seeing themselves in your life if all of your friends hate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, prove them wrong kind of thing. Corinne, I didn't remember either. She had a bag of tokens. So she gave him one token for a hug at the beginning, but then she just gave him a hug anyway. I just didn't associate that with Corinne, that she had like free hug tokens, but that's what she had. And then of course, Alexis with the shark/dolphin suit. So that was our first check-in with Chris. Jordan, were you really excited to hear from Alexis? Was she one of the ones that would have been on your list to catch up with?
Completely forgot about Alexis. I actually thought this segment was good. Because at first I was like, really? Like, really? We're going to give her a segment? But no, she seemed fun, and it gave them an excuse to put her back on the show because it's unlikely that will ever happen again. So I was down with it, and I completely forgot about the clearly shark costume that she was trying to pass off as a dolphin. The Katy Perry shark costume from the Super Bowl. Like, that was the exact same one. So I don't know. Obviously, she has to be, playing into that. But I thought it was good.
Yeah. I'm just noticing that on our draft, we each had like hashtags, and yours was Jordan Team Little Mermaid. So I think we had like really more in-depth bios back then. I think a lot of people said that they liked Little Mermaid, and mine was Team Dolphin, but I did not have Alexis on my team. So I don't know if everyone was just saying that they love dolphins, but, and then Haley, you had Team Pope. Do you remember what that was about?
No.
did you have Christen on your team, Haley? Maybe that's right.
Oh gosh, that seems like so little to go on, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they all wanted to meet the Pope. Does, if they all liked Scandal and they liked Olivia Pope, I don't know.
But it may be. Or maybe,
oh, that might have been it.
Yeah, that might have been it.
Yeah. So, yeah, because you don't have Christen on your team. We did not get a check-in with Christen. We saw her a little bit. But you know what? They didn't really delve into, like, when I think back on this season, like, the things that stand out to me. I don't know what this says about me, but it's like, okay, Christen was the virgin. Raven never had an orgasm. Liz showed up. They had hooked up. And he didn't remember her at first. And they didn't show any of that. So,
yeah, they didn't show. You're right. They didn't show Liz at all.
They erased her.
Yeah, I was Jaden Tanner's wedding. That was like the first month of the season.
Yeah, I feel like that was like a dramatic point that they night one. So it's kind of curious what they choose to leave out and what they choose to focus on. So like we said, Danielle M, they barely showed her. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that really kind of surprised me. But yeah, there's a lot. I guess some of them, like Kristen didn't get to know too much until VIP. Whitney, obviously, like, we barely got to know her in VIP and definitely not on this season. Jamie was on VIP, but not like a big factor in this season. But Angela was on this season, who was a big character in VIP in the last one. But I think she was a night one boot on Nick's season. So it's just kind of interesting to not that they all came from here, but weren't really players on Nick's season.
Wasn't Astrid on this season too?
Oh, yeah. Astrid as well. Yes.
Yeah,
she went early though.
Right. So it's just crazy that there's so many that have gone on to better things. And then we have the group date that they show. And again, this one didn't stand out to me as much until we revisited it. The group date I remember is the one where they went to like that heartbreak museum. And again, that kind of tied into the whole Liz storyline where she like talked about, I think she like confronted him about their hookup. So,
and like, wasn't his engagement ring to Caitlin in that?
Yeah, something like that. So I don't know if they're just like trying to give like Nick a better edit, or just like if he said like, hey, like, I don't want that in there, or if it just didn't really, because she didn't last very long in the season, they didn't carry it through. But they showed the wedding photo shoot date, and Haley, do you remember the photographer's name? He's kind of showed up at a few different things and it's kind of like a secondary character in some of these seasons.
No, and I will not learn it.
I don't know either.
Do not sign me up for learning that name.
But these dates are always kind of fun. And I thought this was maybe one of the better formats for it, to have everyone be a different bride. Jordan, what did you think of revisiting this date?
Yeah, I thought it was a great date. It was very memorable, because when I first thought about, okay, we're going to watch Nick's season again, what are they going to show? I thought, okay, they're going to show the this date by the pool, because I remember the scene with Corinne. And they'll show Finland. Those were like a couple of the things that they'll show. Nick going to Rachel's church, like those are moments that really stood.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all kind of like just stood out to me. And yeah, sure enough, that's what they ended up showing. But I thought it was a good date. I think it was, I do remember watching this at the time and just feeling very awkward just about the whole Corinne situation and how Nick handled that. Like, I like, that was, and in hindsight, that's just really a bad look, in my opinion, for him. But this is really the only point of the episode where I was like, Nick, I don't know, man, this doesn't look so great for you. But otherwise, I mean, the concept and idea of the date was interesting and cool, and it was nice seeing you know, the different themes that they had going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Haley, how about you? What did you think?
I don't know. Like, I felt, maybe it's cause I heard him talk about this wedding date on a podcast and how like uncomfortable he was about it. Like, just recently he was on Bachelor Party and he was like, I hated this one. It made me feel weird and bad. And I don't know. And even like Corinne was kind of like, I don't totally, like, I wish I would have done things differently. I was really excited to talk to Corinne. I'm glad we talked to Corinne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to see a lot of Corinne. So they kind of showed the, you know, this date. There was one girl on the date where like her whole costume was like just leaves and no top.
Yeah, that was bad as well.
Yeah.
I remember
like the costume, but I do not remember that woman at all. Like, I could have sworn that this was the first time I had seen her in my life.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And then they had put Taylor in like the princess dress, and so it had kind of started the rivalry, I guess, with Taylor and Corinne on the date, because everyone was kind of jealous of Taylor that she had, like, was kissing him when they were taking the picture. But then Corinne took it up a notch in the pool, taking her top off, and all the women were watching and it going on. So I don't know. I like kind of just forgotten about this moment. So, but there's a lot of different things with Corinne, and we got to see Corinne and Taylor's whole thing. We talked to both of them. So I remember us really being on the side of Corinne, really, on the season, Haley, with that, the whole Taylor kind of talking down to her, talking about her, being not emotionally intelligent. And I've come to really like Taylor since then from her social media presence. But we did get to talk to both of them. And Haley, what were your thoughts on the two segments with them?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a lot of what Taylor says now is really important and stuff we should be listening to. But what we saw last night didn't really change my mind about how we felt about her in that moment. I think Corinne was really young, but I think Taylor was really young too. And I think Taylor has learned and grown through this and from this, but just, yeah, of course this is an edited product, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But like the way she treated Corinne was like not fun and cool. And she definitely talked down to her and thought she was dumb and couldn't hold her own because of, you know, she was aloof and she had a nanny, et cetera, et cetera. And like, yeah, like those are all fun, hilarious things. And I think Corinne really played them up. But I think we liked Corinne. They were trying to play her as the villain, but it seemed like a lot of the women actually really liked Corinne. And I think that's a good baseline for us is like, do most of the other women like this person? Then that's a good sign. Her and Taylor just did not get along. And I hope they're both well.
Yeah, Jordan, I didn't really remember that Taylor had gone to Nick too, and was really kind of like pinning things on Corinne. So then I think it was like she was really shocked in the 2-on-1 that he chose Corinne rather than Taylor. But we talked a lot when we were covering this season too that Nick does seem to know like what makes better TV. And I've heard Nick talk since that he was like, I knew as soon as she said she had a nanny that I had to go to hometowns. So.
Yeah, just I think this is a case where, like you said, I think you discussed earlier, like, yeah, he's aware of being on the fact that it's a show. He's very self-aware in that sense. And even though, you know, Nick had been a veteran of the show, he still was authentic, which was great, but he was able to maybe keep some people around longer or do some subtle things to make the actual show better. So I respect that from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's even, you know, talked about how he knew that it was Vanessa from very early on. But that he also, you know, really liked Rachel, and I don't know if he's really taken a little bit of credit. Haley, do you recall like kind of that? Like,
yeah.
She was a bachelorette because of him, which I don't know.
Yeah. We don't love that narrative.
Yeah. I brought her along so that I know and like knew that she would be good for it. And I wanted them to do it. but let's see, who else did we hear from? How uncomfortable was Chris Harrison talking to Taylor about her, you know, new sexual openness and pursuing her? Like, it was really cool that she was like good with talking about it, but I feel like Chris didn't really delve into it.
I thought there was a lot of conversations on this episode that I don't think I would have expected.
Yeah.
One of them was having Tayshia and Natasha come on and talk about how important Rachel was to them. Mm-hmm. And that makes me sad that I feel like because we got that conversation, we're not getting a Rachel season.
Rachel appearance. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that would have been lovely. But, Taylor talking about polyamory and her vibrator was something that I don't think Chris really expected. Mm-hmm. And I think that people watching The Bachelor should be more open about these relationships and like different kinds of relationships and like having bisexual women and men and bisexual non-binary people on the show. I think that's really interesting. And I find that bisexuality can kind of be a trope on the show that is like, oh, will Jamie leave this person for a woman if she comes in? And it's like, if she does, great. The women are better anyway. But you know what? Kudos to Taylor for talking about her vibrator on primetime television. Right?
Yeah.
Kudos it's not the path I would go down.
Chris Harrison uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was worth it for that alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she basically was like, you know what? I don't, in not so many words, it was like, yeah, this format is not for me. Like, monogamy, I don't know if that's for me. Like, so I don't know if Taylor is signing up to be back on. And I forgot that, like, she got engaged on the show, like, on VIP.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I forgot about that, too.
Like, yeah, she's moved on. Yeah. Learning onto bigger and better things. So then we have, let's dive into the segment about Rachel. We got a lot with Rachel, like, not with her there, but her portion of the show, going back to her getting the first impression rose, going on her family visit, and some of the race conversations that she had with Nick. Some of those didn't age too well. Haley, what do you think? Like, I don't see color kind of thing. I think that's
yeah,
comments.
That's not like our favorite line, that's for sure. But God, Rachel was so good on this season. What a breath of fresh air this woman was. She just sparkled the whole time. And so it made me even more annoyed to think that Nick was like, yeah, like, I picked Rachel because of this. And it's like, no, Rachel showed the world like how cool she is, how fun she is, how smart she is. Ugh, like, what a gem. I love her. She's so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then do you think that they asked Rachel to be on and she declined? And that's how they had the Tayshia and Natasha segment?
I can't imagine they didn't ask her, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. She's been very critical of the show lately, fairly so, rightfully so. So I don't know if they did or didn't. Like, them, I hope they did. But
I could see them being scared to ask her out of fear that she would say something against the franchise. How dare she?
Right.
Right? So I do wonder if perhaps they just chose not to even ask Rachel, which is really a shame.
Yeah, but I think she's even kind of said things like, until they do these things to show that they're committed to diversity, like, she doesn't want to be involved. So maybe she's kind of like put that forward too. And then one thing that was strange is that, you know, these were all filmed obviously before Chris went off to quarantine and film Claire's season. So having Tayshia there, but there's like no acknowledgement, like, and I think like no awareness at that point, right, that she was going to be the Bachelorette. So I guess it was good that she was included in some way here. And maybe it shows that, I don't know if we're going to get Colton's season recap. I don't think we need it. But they had Tayshia from Colton's season and Natasha from Peter's season talking about what Rachel meant to them. And I think it was Natasha and then Tayshia agreed that they, you know, if she hadn't been the Bachelorette, they probably wouldn't have come on. Natasha talked about how she didn't watch the show, you know, doesn't watch shows that don't have representation. So I thought that was interesting that they had the segment and really good that they had the segment. Haley, any more to say about this segment?
It makes me wonder if this was filmed before Tayshia was selected to be the second Bachelorette.
I think so. Because there was just like no. Do you think so?
I think so for sure. Like the question, it would be so much harder to hide something like that. I think it seemed like, and I feel like they were doing this several months ago, right? Like, I feel like they could have just done all of these like pretty quickly.
Chris Harrison's son filming. You know, had a strict schedule. Like, he couldn't just, I think he's in college now, so he couldn't be doing it.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Yeah.
She probably didn't know, but what a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. At least they had her on speed dial. You know, they're like, we know she's around. And, you know, they might've even had like more of a catch up with her. If they are doing Colton season, they might be like, oh, are you single? Like, what's going on? So it'll be interesting to see like what other upcoming shows they do have.
I don't know if this is correct, but I feel like I've heard that next week is the last one.
Oh, really? Okay.
I I don't quote me on that, but I feel like they're not doing many more than that.
Yeah, it's been so sporadic with like the 2 weeks off, and then, but then what are they going to fill the time? They're not going to have any Bachelor stuff to fill the time.
Well, doesn't Dancing with the Stars start
true.
Soon? When does
well,
that
and I guess like if they didn't anticipate like a delay, like if they were thinking they'd be back in September, then yeah, why would they have more after next week? And
Dancing with the Stars starts September 14th. So It would work out if they did the Juan Pablo segment on the 7th and then
be done.
Start dancing on the 14th. Yeah, then they're done. Right. And then October 13th, I believe, is the premiere of Claire's season. So.
Right. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. We're ending on Juan Pablo to get us all excited for Claire's season. It's just kind of funny, like that wouldn't be the normal one they'd probably want to end on since it doesn't look too good. He was kind of the punchline for the longest time for Chris Harrison on the Bachelor Choice, but you know, it led us to Claire. So end on that note. Let's see, we also have Raven and Vanessa, the two finalists, and they really didn't get into either of these two until the very end, which seems like Haley lately, what they've been doing with these. Like, I feel like Sean's season, they kind of introduced like more of an arc and followed it along a little bit of like who the standouts were from night one. But really kind of focused on like the different characters from earlier in the season. And then it was like, oh yeah, Raven and Vanessa after seeing all the Rachel portion. And so we get to catch up with Raven. I was kind of surprised they didn't show her really meeting his family. They didn't show a lot of Nick's family, and they've been kind of like characters on the show for a while. So that could have been a request from Nick as well, if he had any, like, you know, since he is so like friendly with producers and kind of, I can see him like saying like, hey, like, I don't know if I'd like this to be shown, or like, I don't want my family looped in again or something. But we did catch up with Raven. Her wedding has been postponed 3 times. Can you relate at all?
kind of.
Yeah.
It's been interesting, that's for sure.
Interesting time to be engaged. Did Jordan, were you on the edge of your seat wondering if they would actually get married with Chris Harrison standing by right then and there?
Adam and Raven?
Yeah.
One of the
cliffhangers.
That was the. I will say, Chris Harrison saying, "Oh, look, your parents are right here." That was pretty good, pretty good response to Adam there. But I completely forgot that the two of them were a thing. I just hadn't thought about Raven in so long. But it seems like they're happy, so good for them. And hopefully, they can get married sooner rather than later.
Yeah, with Raven being such a big character on next season, and I feel like really a hot commodity in VIP, her relationship with Adam, it just feels like it's never really one of the ones that like is mentioned as like, it's not up there with Evan and Carly, Jade and Tanner, even though it is a VIP success story. Haley, why do you think that is?
Is it, I don't know,
we don't know who Adam is.
That and like they didn't get engaged on the show.
That's true. That's their that's the big no. You have to like make it official with like the camera crew there. That has to be it. Let's see. We have Vanessa. This really took me back to just like, I really love Nick and Vanessa together, and it made me kind of sad. Like, she's now engaged very recently. So proving that this was filmed, you know, prior, because she didn't like announce it there, but she like since that filming has gotten engaged. But I just thought like they look so good together. They seemed really good together. And I know like I was one of the people that was like, I think this one's gonna last. Like, I think Nick's really serious about this.
Yeah, I was really disappointed. I knew when they broke up. I like her. I like him. I like them together. You know, Nick has been talking, and actually there's an episode on his Patreon of them talking and having a conversation, having it out. And, you know, and they're both very adamant that they really tried to make it work, and it just didn't. And, you know, they didn't talk for a long time, but now they're cool. So I'm happy that they've reached that place where they can, you know, be happy for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I really liked them together. Like, I was still, like, disappointed when I was, like, watching it, knowing that they don't end up together. I'm like, oh, darn it. Like, I like this.
I know. I know. It's like, she just was kind of, like, that quintessential, like, just seemed like perfect casting for him. She was, like, the special ed teacher. She was from Quebec. And she seemed to, like, handle it really well. But she was, like, kind of, like, above the process or not, like, not a big fan of the show, which I think always plays well for the lead. And then I had forgotten, Jordan, that, like, since it was so obvious, really, that he was going to pick Vanessa, I feel like towards the end, that there's kind of this, like, doubt about, like, will she break his heart? Is she, like, not ready to, like, accept a proposal kind of thing? And they showed that a little bit. And I had totally forgotten that that had been, like, kind of an element that they were trying to push forward, that she was maybe, like, distancing herself a little bit. Did you recall that?
Yeah, no, I definitely forgot about that as well. I think this was, I think personally watching it back, that this was just a classic case of producer manipulation in terms of the questions that they ask Vanessa and her ITMs before, so that way they can play that quote of her or whatever she was saying. Yeah, I'm not sure if, like, he's ready. But, like, then you see her when she's speaking to Nick, like, you know, when they're at that final encounter. And it's just so obvious that, yes, she's ready to say yes to a proposal. So I don't think it was ever in doubt. I think she was always willing and able to say yes because of that connection they had. And I completely agree with what the two of you said. I think it was a beautiful thing to see. Like, it's, I can't recall seeing Nick, like, crying on the show too many times. Right. And seeing him show that affection for Vanessa, I thought that was nice to see. It was pretty cool because we don't often see that side of Nick. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I enjoyed the segment. It is too bad it didn't work out. Haley, I do have a question for you. Ooh. Since you have access to this special Patreon for my.
I wish I did.
I just know about it.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, never mind then. Sorry. I was going to say, so then I'll change the question.
Okay.
From my perspective, and I can throw this to both of you, but from my perspective, the main reason it didn't work out, and this is just because of what we saw on the show, but the main reason it didn't work out was because Nick wanted to live in Los Angeles or somewhere in the United States, and Vanessa did not want to leave her job and her family in Montreal. Is that something that the two of you agree with? Because I feel like it may, if Nick, like, she did live in the US, but I feel like, I don't think she was happy about it. Like, I wonder if Nick would have gone to Montreal and, like, I don't know, like, Nick, when he was talking, he was saying, like, well, you know, I'm proud to be an American and, you know, I don't want to move. Like, I mean, I'm biased as a Canadian, but I don't think Nick knows how good it is in a place like Montreal. Like, I think he thinks it's like the middle of nowhere and then there's no people. So going back to the question, do you think the difference, the unwillingness to leave their respective homes is the reason why they broke up? Haley, I'll throw it to you first.
I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, I think that's clear because she's back in Montreal now. She like, as soon as they broke up, that's where she went. And she's there since. And I was surprised to see that little clip. I had totally forgotten that Nick was very dismissive of moving to Canada at all. When I feel like a lot of the opportunities he thinks he's had in LA, I think could have happened in Toronto or Montreal.
100%. Like, it's, I mean, yeah, like, Montreal is not, like, and okay, am I biased towards my country? Of course I am. I'm
biased towards your country. I can't cross the border.
But I do think for a lot of people, there is this perception that, okay, when you go to Canada, it's like small town, there's no people, there are igloos, and there are polar bears. And yes, there are many places in Canada that are like that, but Montreal is a very large city. Like, if you're going to go live in Canada, it's probably one of the, in Nick, situation. That's probably one of, top two or three cities that you would want to live in.
Yeah, and if like the weather is a factor, I don't think Montreal winters are much worse than Chicago or Wisconsin winters.
No, not at all. So I really don't get it. Like, I wonder, did he try, like, was he so adamant on not living there that he didn't even stay there for an extended period of time? Like, I just thought he would have realized that. And he can't have the, oh, well, I want to be near my family excuse.
Right.
Isn't his family is not in Los Angeles, and that's where he was. Right. So,
I think it might be kind of that LA draw, you know, like, didn't we even see that kind of with like Chris Soules? Like, he didn't stay in LA, but he did the Dancing with the Stars, and so did Nick Viall. And then I know that Sean Lowe has talked about like how he regrets doing it because it just takes so much time, and it's like right after you're engaged and you're trying to like build your relationship, and then you're like isolating, like the person you're engaged to is like all alone, and you're getting all this attention. I think he fell in love with the LA thing.
And the thing with Nick is like, I've got to say this too, and sorry to cut you off, Amy, but like he was a veteran of this franchise, right? So he of anybody should have known, like, the spotlight is not going to stay on you forever, no matter how hard you try. It's going to fizzle out. You're not going to become an actor or whatever it is that he was trying to do. Like,
but he was a guest star on some show that's been canceled now.
Yeah, and he was in two Lifetime movies.
Oh, really?
I think.
Wow, really?
Whoa.
Well, okay, that's
a lot
that's
of those film in Canada, though. So,
yeah, exactly. Let me look. Let me look. Nick Viall, IMDb.
This might be our off-season podcast.
There you go. But like, I'm actually surprised that you said that, Haley. Like, I would have guessed that he's done nothing. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll give him that. But still, it's just like, I feel like a lot of it's hard. I will say it's hard for a lot of people when you get stuck into that reality TV bubble, because you go from having complete anonymity to having people, you know, pay attention to you and make you feel important. And a lot of people have a hard time letting go of that and recognizing that that's not going to last forever. And I don't know. I feel like maybe Nick felt because he was the Bachelor, it could last forever, but, I don't know. Like, he's got a podcast now, but so does everybody else. So I don't.
He was in a TV movie called A Christmas Cruise, in which he played Bob, the hotel cruise manager.
Amazing.
Guessing that's not the main character.
He was in 15 episodes of a show called The Coop, where he played Ryan. And I just think about Astrid, who's with Kevin, and she moved to Canada, and it seems like she's thriving here, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he missed his chance. Now he can't go there. So
he missed his chance. Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't get it. Yeah, and Astrid is a great example, Haley. Like, she's made it work. I think they went from Toronto. I thought I saw they just moved again. I think they went to somewhere like more in the suburbs, or maybe like a smaller area or something like that. But
I think, let me look at that too. Continue talking. I'm going to do some more like Googling.
I mean, we should know this. This is our people in our country. I just think like there's a difference for those of you listening. There is a difference between Montreal, Toronto, and places like Moose Jaw in Canada. Like, Moose Jaw is maybe, and even Moose Jaw is not as, you know, probably as bad as people are thinking, but it's, you know, Nick was treating it as if that's where he was going to be living. And
Vancouver has like a whole film industry and TV industry there. Like,
Vancouver does for sure. I feel like Vanessa probably wouldn't
have been there, but
for her. No, Vancouver and Vancouver and LA. I mean, that's pretty much the same distance in terms of travel for Vanessa. So that probably didn't appeal to her as much. But this is just a shame. If Canada was the reason why it didn't work, it really is a shame.
Yeah. And we did get a check-in with Nick. I don't think he promoted his podcast on there. I don't know if he was allowed to or not. But
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I don't think he did. He just says he's like dating. He's still single. Doesn't regret doing the show at all. And, you know, these surprises from Chris Harrison have really gone downhill since he announced for Caitlin that she was going to be on Dancing with the Stars. I think that set up a lot of expectations for people. But he did have a surprise that was going to knock Nick's socks off. And it was dun, 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 a canvas that was not even as well painted as something that Clint could do. I was more impressed with the Chris Harrison riding the, what was it, a turtle or something, a unicorn on Caitlin season that he gifted Caitlin. But yeah, he has a canvas that they commissioned for a picture of Chris Harrison mainly, and then Nick was in the background. Was this a re-gift or was this really commissioned?
It cannot be commissioned, right?
I don't know. A lot of focus on Chris Harrison there. And then when they showed the scene at the end where they were like recapping like Nick's sequence, and Chris was nowhere in sight. So I was like, why is Chris in the front, in the foreground of this picture? But yeah, I guess Nick really likes painting. That's something he does on his Instagram. So maybe it was an apt gift for him. But yeah, not quite as like, you know, if Chris could have said, you have an acting role on this soap opera, that might have been more exciting. But nope. Just what did he have? He had for Caitlin, for JoJo and Jordan, he had a cake that was like waiting for them or something. So that was about it in terms of like big announcements. And yeah, anything else that you guys want to share about Nick's season or things that you were surprised they didn't show or people they didn't show? Oh, we forgot about Christina. I forgot about Christina.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
glad we got to see Christina. I hope she's doing well.
Yeah, I mean, she got her invite from PIP. So I don't know if that says that you're doing well or not, if Chris still wants you to be on the show. But like, hey, maybe we'll see you in Mexico next summer. I'm just like excited that could happen in a world where like we can travel again.
Mm-hmm.
So. Then, yeah, she talked about how she's maybe like she wants to travel back to Russia. We saw like her really emotional story told again. So just a reminder of all like the really amazing cast that he had. So I guess they couldn't fit everything in. But yeah, Nick's season had a lot going on for it. And Nick is still, you know, one of the ones that we think back on fondly. And maybe he'll show up in a future franchise. He says no, but you know,
never say never when there's a paycheck involved.
Exactly.
I mean, if he's playing Bob the Sailor Guy in Lifetime Christmas movies, I feel like he's too good for the show now.
Yeah that's like not gonna show up on his IMDb anymore. It's like he's just moved on to better things. So yeah, I'm excited for Juan Pablo next week. Then we'll get a little bit of a hiatus until Claire's season. And then I saw that they announced, or I don't know if it's announced, but I've heard that they've secured a resort for Matt James's season, and it's not like a tropical location. Haley, did you see anything about this?
I did not. Tell me everything.
So it's like called Nemacolin, and it's on the East Coast. Nemacolin Woodlands Resort in Pennsylvania.
Beautiful.
And I think a four-season playground nestled within 2,000 acres. And I think some season went there for like, was it maybe Andy's season or something? Pennsylvania. Nemacolin Bachelor. But to me, that's kind of a surprising choice to like have like a more woodland setting.
Yeah, I kind of just assume they just stay at La Quinta.
Yeah, so interesting, but you know, they might have not be able to give them another month of it. So yeah, Matt James upcoming season expected to take place at Nemacolin Woodlands Resort in Pennsylvania. So could be not true, but you know, that's what's up there. All right, Jordan, What have you been up to? Is there anything that you want to promote, or is it just your retirement and for people to leave you alone? I'm just so like,
I've become like a cranky old man. Like that's the persona I've taken upon myself.
I think the last time you wanted people to follow your dad. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, maybe that's what I did. I think, yeah, this time, I'm off of social media these days. And I guess, so here's what I'll promote today.
Okay.
Take a break from social media. That's what I'm going to promote to people listening. Just try it. I know it's kind of hard because you need to see, what painting Nick has uploaded on his Instagram or, what Madison Pruitt is doing to make her so genuine and real on her Instagram. But I do think it's really, I mean, not for everybody, but for some people it can be really helpful and beneficial. And I know for myself, it's just, it's been very freeing, in a way. So, give it a try, especially during just unplug like for a couple days or week, whatever it is, just to get away from, the hysteria of what's out there on the internet these days. I mean, I don't want you to ignore everything. And obviously, we stand up for human rights and social justice issues. But there are also some things that I think just get blown way out of proportion. Mm-hmm. And also, too, I followed on Instagram. I was following so many of these bachelor people, and I'm just so tired of seeing flat tummy tea and selfies and just stuff like that. And I was just like, why am I wasting my time with this? So so that's all I'm here to promote. It's my sitting on in my old man corner. take a break from social media. In terms of what I'm up to these days, I just had summer vacation. I am a teacher. It was very nice. And I'm getting ready to jump back into it, hopefully safely. This fall, we'll see what happens. And just going to put my head down, try my best, cross my fingers and see what happens. But yeah, just stay safe, everybody. And to my fellow teachers and parents and other people with, children going to school, maybe there are children listening to this podcast. Who knows? I wish you luck with this upcoming school year, because it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were all checking in before we hit record, but just kind of saying that, like, just like getting through the days and, taking one day at a time is like, you're doing good. it's a weird time to be like asking people like, hey, how's it going? How have you been? Cause everyone is going through, this global crisis that we're in different ways, and different countries are handling it differently. But definitely thinking about you, Jordan, as you're, and all the teachers out there, as they're gearing up in different ways, online or in person.
Thank you. And I appreciate it. It'll be a year that I won't forget. That's for sure.
Yeah. Haley, how about you?
Unlike Jordan, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @HStrong_.
After your break from social media, the first thing you should do is check out Haley's feed.
Yes.
Honestly, you know what you could do is unfollow everyone, or just have like a dummy account that you're logged into and you only follow me, because it's mostly just like my cat, what I'm eating for dinner.
Content.
Nice. Yeah.
There you go.
Have a nice sunset.
Mm-hmm. Nice beach pic.
Yeah.
Canada has beaches.
Believe it or not,
all the Canadian content. You can see like what you're missing. If you fall in love with someone over there, you should move there. Are you doing any other podcasts, Haley? We've talked about, I'm just still behind on Bachelor Australia, but Jordan, that was something that we watched the premiere and did a podcast with Shannon Gus about, because it was a Survivor Australian Survivor contestant is the lead in Australia for the Bachelor. Yeah. So that was like pretty exciting, even though I haven't seen
somebody from which season of Survivor Australia or Australian Survivor.
It's Lockie.
Locky. So
Locky. I don't think
All Stars and some other season, obviously.
Okay. I only know I just watched season one and then the Contenders versus Champions one, the one that Russell was on. Okay. I watched until Russell got voted out, which was which was great. I really loved that. No, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So I hope to catch up, Haley, and we can hopefully get like a mid-season check-in on that, because otherwise we don't have much coming up until Bachelorette and the Juan Pablo one next week.
Yeah.
So you're still doing your Top Chef podcast, right?
Yeah. 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 I think this weekend we're talking about the Barefoot Contessa.
Ooh. All right. Nice.
If you need a show to watch also for listening, if you need a show to watch, 90 Day Fiance is still going strong on TLC. Yes. Give it a shot.
And we have coverage.
Podcasting about it here on the network, so you can check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what? There's a wrap up for 90 days?
Yes. We got really started because it's my fault. I was not good at keeping up with 90 Day Fiance.
Oh, Mr. no. So, wait, who does it?
Pooya.
Pooya does
it. Yeah. Oh, Pooya. I love it. That's good. I'm glad Pooya girl. Man. Okay, Pooya, if you're listening to this, hit me up, man. I would love to talk some 90 Day with you because, oh my goodness.
I think he has like different guests throughout.
Yeah,
right?
Haley, like, not like DM. Yeah. So like I bet he totally would. I don't think Pooya's listening to this.
Yeah.
But. No. I will I'll find some way to contact Pooya and let him know I want to come on his pod because I have lots of 90 Day takes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is a 90 Day Fiance. That is a staple in my household. I'm always on. I think I've seen. Yeah, I mean, since we podcasted about it like 3 or 4 years ago, Haley, I've seen like everything. So
wow, nice.
It's great. It's good, but also like, but also just the worst show. And you thought it was bad back then, Haley. It's so bad now.
So if you're a newbie, where do you start? Do you start with a recent season or is there like a classic season you go back to?
So if you're a newbie, you're trying to watch 90 Day Fiance, TLC should really just change their name to 90 Day Network because they have so many spinoffs and like they just very, very frequently they will just have marathons on the weekend where they'll just replay old seasons. So I would just, if somebody's listening to this, and you haven't watched 90 Day Fiance before, I would just start watching, just pick it up. It's on Sunday nights. You'll figure it out. It's not too difficult to figure out. And then just maybe keep an eye out on your DVR for reruns and just tape one of the marathons and you'll get to know some of these people a little bit better. But yeah, it's an absolute disaster. So if you like train wrecks like me, it's great television.
Have you watched the Netflix reality shows, the Too Hot to Handle, Love is Blind, because I feel like that fits into those categories. Yeah. And they're kind of a quick binge.
And quick one last point about 90 Day, Amy, before I wrap up there, I forgot. If you are feeling down because of the pandemic, watch 90 Day and then you'll remember, okay, at least I'm not that person. It'll help you feel a sense of calm. Like,
didn't Nicole get stuck in Morocco for like 3 months?
She did. Yeah, she was stuck in Morocco for 3 months and then the Moroccan government kicked her out. So I think she finally left. But none of that was on the show. But in terms of your question, Amy, the Netflix reality shows, Love is Blind, I watched. Yes, did enjoy the show. Did not enjoy Barnett, but I enjoyed the show. I watched probably, I want to say like 10 minutes of Too Hot to Handle and it was too hot to handle for me. I just couldn't handle it. I just put on Too Hot to Handle. I couldn't do it. Maybe I'll give it another try. But I'm more of like Love is Blind. I like the real estate shows that are on Netflix. Mm. Those are very good. And then Dating Around. I don't know if the two of you have watched
that.
That
one. Yes.
Yeah. Dating Around, I'm a huge fan of, especially because it's extremely easy to binge. And it's 30 minute episodes and there's 6 episodes per season. But Leonard on season one of Dating Around might be the greatest contestant on any dating show of all time.
Mm. Yeah.
I remember him. Man, I don't know if you remember Amy.
The older guy, right?
He, The old guy. He was very good. He had that joke about the frog. I don't know if you remember, but it was very bad.
That one, but,
I won't say it on the podcast. Okay. I'll just use it for people to go seek out on their own. But it's quite the joke.
That's a show where it's like it's so different from other reality like dating shows because there's no like ITMs. There's no like interviews. Yeah. Like, and this is what I really thought about this. It's just watching the first date and it's really diverse casting.
Which is awesome. That's why I really like the show, is because you can the people are being themselves. Mm-hmm. They're not being fed lines and told to say something or go after. Like, they have no interaction with there's one person dating, for the people who haven't seen it. Haley, have you seen this show?
No, not yet.
Okay, so I'll explain the show. I'll sell you on it. It's worth watching. Watch it. Ethan would like it too. It's a good show. There's one person. They introduce them at the beginning of the episode. Their friends talk about this person to kind of give you an idea about who this person is. And they show the person going on a date with five different people. The date takes place, for each of the people, takes place in the exact same location. So during the episode, they edit.
Oh shit, I just spilled a glass of water.
Oh no.
Fuck. Oh no, Country Bear Hall. Ugh, I'll leave it. I'll leave it for now. Sorry, I interrupted you.
I excited you so much that you spilled.
And I was like hoping not to have to go back downstairs.
Oh no.
Anyway, I'll wrap it up quick. Basically, they show these five different people dating the one person, but they edit it as if it's one date. So, like, for example, someone will ask the main person, oh, do you want kids? Or the main person will ask, do you want kids? And then five people will give their different responses. They'll edit them differently. Sometimes people tell the same jokes. It's a really good show. I enjoy it. The most recent season also. Did you watch the recent season, Amy?
Yeah.
Okay. The professor from New Orleans. Okay, I think Ben was his name. That guy also was insanely good casting. Really like that guy as well.
And I like when it's
watch it.
You'll see like someone, they're like, okay, so this is the end of the date. And then they get sent home after dinner. And then you see like, oh, but like with other people, the date continues on. It's like you can tell. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
Like, oh, I guess that one didn't go so well.
Yeah. It's really good. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the show. I hope they can make more seasons of it. But, who knows with COVID and with Netflix's budget.
They even have Dating Around Brazil right now on Netflix. So if you can.
I haven't watched that. Yeah. I have not watched that one. I will have to check that out.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. Fun. Like, we always like to get those recommendations, especially during this time. So, and yeah, I agree with that recommendation for sure. All right. You can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recapper. I tend to take social media breaks as well, but I don't like deactivate or anything. I just kind of like retreat, lurk, that kind of thing. But yeah, I definitely agree, like taking little breaks here and there, or doing things on your phone. Like, you can remove things from your phone and just say like, I'm just gonna use this on a browser or something like that. That can really like limit your time that you're like mindlessly scrolling and stuff too. So that is my tip. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Jordan, thanks again for joining us. It was so fun to catch up.
And yeah, thanks for having
me. Maybe
this
we can
great.
Talk Claire really... season / Tayshia since
we'll see what happens with this season and what's going on. But
yeah,
assuming everything airs on time and we're ready to go, just let me know. I would love to chat about that, or perhaps Matt James, or perhaps when Bachelor in Paradise returns in 2022. just let me know. I'm always happy to talk to anybody who wants to talk to me, especially the two of you, because you are amazing.
Thank you. We love having you.
This was so nice to talk to you again, Jordan. Our annual catch up.
Yes. I'm glad that we could still do it, even when it's a greatest of all time episode. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Bye. Jordan, tell your parents I say hi.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.